No, I'm not wearing makeup.
Look, I know that's obvious. What I mean to say is I am not going to wear makeup. I'm not going to start wearing makeup. I will not be putting on makeup. I don't care if I'm shiny. I like being shiny. Shiny's good. Stop making hand signals at me. I don't know what that means. You're fluttering around like, what does that mean? That means there's a hummingbird loose in here or something, or what? Now you're pulling taffy? In a minute. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the diner. Station Channel Diner. Oh, man, I'll have to explain this in a second. But first, let me set the scene. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. I know it's been a while, but the diner's still here. Still been here all the many days and weeks that we haven't spoken. It's always here, always open. And I am James Lilac, sitting at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for my counter, the old diner down on Highway 23. Old Highway 23, of course. Not the new Highway 23. Take the new Highway 23, you're going to end up at nothing but Arby's and Hardee's and other second-rand places. No, if you got a map from 1947, though, take 23, and that'll lead you right here through towns that back then were just simply small, half-filled-in ovals or circles, indicating that they had a ways to go. They still had room to fill her up when it came to people. And, of course, those cities now are fully filled-in circles. As a matter of fact, that's probably a motto for several of them, and little signs outside the outskirts. Kiwanis Tuesday, Lions Wednesday. We are a proudly, fully, filled-in circle town. Although, you know, for a while there, when I was driving around... Oh, in the diner, incidentally, on Highway 23, old Highway 23, is about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. So if you get moving, you can join me here at the Boomerang Pattern Formica counter for a cup of famous diner coffee. It'll put hair on your chest, or it'll take it off if you spill it. And or some Frosty Jubal, which is a delicious, indescribable soft drink that was made many years ago. Discontinued, I think, in the 50s. But they laid in a stock, shall we say. Down in the basement, there's crates and crates and crates of it. Since I seem to be the only one who drinks it, we're going to have a lifetime supply. However long I live, unless I'm taken out back on shot, which seems to be happening on a regular basis here. I speak, of course, metaphorically. As I was saying about the towns, for a while there, you'd drive through small towns in Minnesota, and they'd have a sign outside town limits. And it's always nice when you have a town that has limits. I grew up in a town, actually, where you could leave town in about 10 blocks from our house. You can get on your bike and start pedaling, past the supermarket, past the school, past the incredibly, inordinately smelly and odoriferous sewage treatment plant, and then no more Fargo. You are in, I suppose, unincorporated land, which always sounds very frontier-like. Unorganized territory, which sounds like you're really out there in the Wild West, or that people just simply haven't been able to bring themselves to put down a list of what they needed to do to become a town. Oh, I'm sorry, we're just so disorganized around here. We'll be one of these days. I'm going to get around to it. Look at this. I got a funny button. It says round to it. I got around to it. Anyway, you would enter these towns. You would pass the moment at which you were not in town, and then you were in town. And there would be a sign that either said one of two things. It either said, an all-American city. And that seemed to stem from the 70s. There was some program that awarded various towns around Minnesota, or the nation as far as I know, the designation of all-American. It was never quite explained. I don't know what that meant. If it meant that all of the young boys wore striped shirts and carried a slingshot in their back pocket and a frog in the other, and had hats that had a serrated edge with bottle caps stuck on them, and they listened to Jack Armstrong on the radio and ate their Wheaties and wanted to grow up to be astronauts, well, I suppose, yeah, that would be an all-American town, but I don't think that's what they were shooting for. There was some sort of mode of economic development. You had to meet certain goals. And the other one was Star City. Every city in Minnesota was designated a Star City. I think there may have been one or two of them that weren't, and you drove through and could figure out why. They were collapsed star cities. They were brown dwarf star cities. They were small, decaying cities that made you worry that they had a gravitational pull so extreme you couldn't get out. Yeah, you don't want to go around those black hole star cities. But the towns of Minnesota were star cities, which meant something or other, and they were obviously proud of it and didn't make you stop or pump their gas or anything else. It was like a prize that was given to everybody just for participating. Everyone's a winner in Minnesota. Every town a star city or all-American. Anyway, as I was mentioning here, there's been changes at the diner. Oh, Lord, the changes. For 2 years now we've been talking. For 2 years we've been talking. Ever since the new owners took over. The new owners have paid, I think they paid $27 million for the diner, which is just ridiculous. I mean, you could buy a big city newspaper for that. And they did so based on certain presumptions of things that were going to happen that just didn't. And so they've never been able to make their money back. Kind of hard to meet the debt on $27 million when you got a place that's, selling a burger for a buck and a half. So they've done everything they possibly could. And what have they done over the last 2 years? Let us think. Let us cast our mind back. They turned it into a gambling parlor. They turned it into a newspaper once, which was really amusing. It didn't last very long. They turned it into, I think it was a strip joint at some point. That was horrifying, especially if you're sitting at the counter and there's somebody squatting in front of you and you're just trying to finish your waffle. They did everything, and nothing has worked, frankly. So the latest thing that they're doing here, I actually think is kind of cool when you think about it. At first I thought they were renting out the diner as a TV studio. They install all these lights, there's all these cameras. But it appears we are now a television station channel somewhere out there. Oh, no, we're not on cable stations. We're not on Dish. We're not on Direct. No. We're hearkening back to the grand old days of cable access, by which I mean, of course, on the Internet. We're broadcasting, streaming live on the Internet here. I'm looking at our picture. It's a little bit jerky. I'm seeing myself. A little disconcerting. For example, when I punch like this, I can sit back and wait. And there I'm punching. Yeah. So I can't watch that. But apparently the idea, they're not doing things smart for example, newspapers nowadays are getting into video, and they're doing a great job of it, I think. A bang-up job. And sure, it's, they're making up the rules as they go along, but they're trying something different, something new, pumping video out through the Internet pages. But the owners of the diner here have a different idea. Apparently this is going to be some sort of Big Brother thing, which, again, is capitalizing on that whole Big Brother craze, which peaked during the first year of the Bush administration. So nothing's going on. Everyone's just sitting here doing what they always do, drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes. Yeah, that's true. You can actually smoke in here. Somehow the diner got grandfathered into the laws, or it just figured that there wasn't anything open on old Highway 23 that you could bother to check and find. There's a big smoke eater in the corner that consumes all of the noxious vapor, so you don't have to worry about leaving this place smelling like you've been marinating in Winston sauce for the last couple of weeks. There's just people sitting around here, and it's reality television, I'll give them that. It is real, but it's not particularly compelling. I think what they want are catfights, bitter arguments. They want inter-customer rivalries to go on, and I'm really hesitant to check out the restroom because I'm pretty sure that there's a camera in there and it's been turned into a confessional booth. And I if that's going out live, oh man, I just hope there's a smart guy at the soundboard who can pot that one down, because yesterday was chilly day. And it's Christmas time at the diner, though. I have to say that. And no matter what else is going on, there are always the joys of the season that make you realize that at the end of the year, it all becomes December 24th and then the 25th. And then the inevitable letdown of the 26th, of course, which I remember as a child being one of the hardest, cruelest days of the year, because never ever was Christmas so far away as it was on December 26th. Oh, yeah, there was New Year's to come. You're a kid, you don't care about New Year's. I mean, yeah, you get to stay up until 12 o'clock if your parents are indulgent enough. And it gets to be a new year, and if you've only had 8 of those, it's a big deal. But it's not a kid's holiday. Not at all. And it just seems like sort of a holiday that they give us to bring us down a little bit. I think it's a big mistake, frankly. I've long said that the beginning of the year should be in spring, when the spring solstice begins. When all of a sudden, the days lengthen, and the tulips thrust their heads through the frigid soil. Oh, seems so very long away, doesn't it? But that's when the new year starts. Then it feels like you're actually starting something. When you start the new year's on the 1st of January, you're just dumped out in these cold, cruel steps of a new year like a foundling, and you've no idea what to make of it. You just got a new number to deal with. And we're entering an odd year, too, and I've never liked the odd years. I just don't trust them. I've never trusted odd numbers. I feel comfortable with whole numbers, you know, with even numbers. Those I like. But I just, there's something about odd-numbered years that just strike me as shifty. It being Christmas time, of course, that means we have to have our annual survey of Christmas music. There's no genre of music that is so despoiled by the efforts of humanity as Christmas music. I think you can boil it down probably to about 15, 20, not even 15 or 20 albums, 15 or 20 songs. And the rest of it is just all raucous dreck shouted by people in a recording studio. Well, put it this way. There's either the novelty songs, like you can always trust Louis Prima and his band back in the 50s to bang out a Christmas tune. And you know those guys were half in the bag, and it was Vegas, and it was November, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and the tapes were rolling. And, you know, what the hell? Let's do Is That You, Santa Claus? And they do it. And, you know, then Louis would fall over at the end of it, and Keeley would pick him up, and it'd be just another night in the strip. But we have the plague of the professionally manicured, perfect Christmas records that are obligatory for every single pop star to roll down the pike. They always have to put out A Very Special Christmas. And every one of them does it. Every one of them does it. And they're all the same songs, and they're all the same arrangements, and they're all the same thing, and you just get so mightily tired of them. Now, let that be said, that at least there's a possibility in the production of new Christmas music that you will find something that you want to listen to next year, because as it stands right now, none of these new songs ever seem to take. Nothing ever enters the eternal rotating Muzak playlist of Christmas that you hear in Christmas music that you hear in retail joints. Ever. Never. It's never something from recently. Unless, of course, they're doing a sort of Starbucky mix where they're doing old and new favorites and updating the season and Tis the Season and Jolly Jolly and all the rest of that crap. No, generally, if you're going to a mall, you're going to hear the same things over again. And that includes one of my least favorite tunes, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Now, you know, I listen to rock music. I've always listened to rock music. All of my life, I've loved rock music, even by its various definitions. I'll rock out, but I don't know what it means to rock out, and I don't know exactly how to rock. And Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree has always been one of those things that just confuses me. Because, first of all, basic logistics, the thing is always in the corner, so you cannot rock around it. You can if you want to squeeze in between, you know, the tree and the wall somehow, but it's hard to rock in that fashion. Maybe they mean that sort of Springsteen dance that he did in Dancing in the Dark or whatever that tune was where he pulled the chick up on the stage and she later became a sitcom star or something like that. She was pretty cute. And he's moving his shoulders up and down, and he's kind of thrusting the hip and moving a leg, and that's kind of rocking. That's rocking. Otherwise, I just see a sort of 1950s-style twist exercise where, but that's not the case, because it's not twisting around the Christmas tree, is it? No, it's rocking around the Christmas tree. It's not frugging around the Christmas tree. It's not doing the mashed potato around the Christmas tree. It is rocking, and I don't know what that means. But it's a novelty song that somebody tossed off to popularize the rise of rock music, which, of course, as they figured, was a flash in the pan, and next week it would be Limbo Around the Christmas Tree, which itself is, of course, completely impossible. I mean, just forget it. Calypso Around there, or something like that. They figured a new genre would come in, but let us strike while the holiday iron is red hot and rock around the Christmas tree. But this song is eternal. It never goes away. It can't die. I mean, if I could find the master acetate of that thing and crack it, and then spend the rest of my life trying to extirpate every single copy of it, digital and analog, otherwise, from the face of the earth, I would if somebody would pay me to do it, because it sounds like a good gig with a lot of travel. But until that day, I'm forced to listen to it over and over and over again. Had a little bit of a dispute a while ago, too, when talking with some people about Baby, It's Cold Outside. Now, I think the Brian Setzer version, which I believe is with Anne Margrock, which is amazing, is pretty good. It's pretty sultry. It's pretty sexy and suggestive. But when I heard a Dean Martin version of it the other day, I could just see some sort of half in the bag. No, who are we kidding? Totally in the bag you know, greasy-haired guy with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth blocking the door because his date really wants to leave. And she's trying to make a good argument for why she should, but, you know, he's not going to let her go. I mean, it's a bit creepy. But other than that, what do you got? You got your good King Wenceslas, don't you? What did he do exactly to become good? Do we know exactly the general program that was instituted by Wenceslas when he ascended to the throne? We all know what dynastic ceremonies were like in those days, and every once in a while, if you were lucky, the king died in bed and the son took it over. But we seem to be talking some sort of Middle European, medieval-type situation where you would ascend to the throne by hacking off the head of the guy in front of you, frankly, defeating his army in the field of battle, and then killing him, personally, with your own hand, you know, and then oftentimes walking out to the balcony with a bloody skull in your palm and waving it around, and everyone acclaimed you. Oh! Okay, fine, great, go with that. So Wenceslas ascended to the throne how, exactly? Maybe it was gentle and hence the name good, but what did he do to earn the appellation of being a good king? And I'm thinking that in kingly terms, what people were used to, he just didn't arbitrarily, randomly go through the countryside, appropriate people's property, and put severed heads up on pikes all over to give them a warning, you know, not to complain. So maybe he had like a 50% heads on pike ratio compared to the previous guy, which made him good. That's, you know, better than nothing. Well, Wenceslas. Could be worse, Wenceslas. Good king, could be worse, Wenceslas. Looked out on his feet's uneven. And I don't know why. What is that song about? It's about an absolute ruler with power of life and death over a feudal society getting up in the morning, walking over to the balcony, and looking out at the snow. And the snow is even. And that's great. Good for him. Snow's very scenic, very pretty. Puts him in the mood for the season. But as for the peasants who are in their stinking huts, having to heat their homes with compacted peat and animal dung, you know, it ain't the Feast of Stephen and the even snows ain't so good for them, is all I'm saying. So there's just a lot to these songs that I'd change if I were King of the Forest. But I'm not. Hold on, I'm getting a hand signal from the floor director. I don't know what these... tell me what you want, okay? Just say it. Well, they can never say things. They have to gesture. He's making a spinning sound. And his hand is like he's spinning something, and then he's putting another... laying another finger down. Is that supposed to mean a tone arm being put down on a spinning record? Because I get that, but, you know, if you're talking to somebody in the digital generation, they're not going to know what you're talking about. Yeah. No, you're right. No, there really isn't any way to describe in gestures turning on an MP3 player. So I guess what he's telling me is that I should shut up talking about music and actually play some music. Let's do so. Let's head to the Diner Jukebox and see what we have here. Do we have Christmas? Of course. Who am I kidding? Of course we have Christmas music. The man who comes into the middle of the night and stalks this thing wouldn't think otherwise, except stalking it with the best possible quality Christmas music you're going to find anywhere, near the diner, on the internet, and streaming live hot. I just made a face at myself in my browser window, and there I made the face back at myself. Well, if we don't amuse anybody else, we'll amuse it. Ooh, we have 17,000 people watching. Oh, God, you're not going to have comments on this. You're not going to... They're going to have live comments, too. Oh, God, we're going to be thronged by YouTube morons. Oh, man, LOL. Okay, all right, fine. Well, while the comments pour in, let's see what we have here at A1. Aging the Beatles, Beatles to the courtesy vote. Was disappointed too. Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Merry Christmas, Loopy-Loo. What do you buy the girl with everything? Gift certificate for shoes.
Have you seen the price of diamond rings?
No, it's just cleverly marketed compacted carbon. Don't do it, buddy. Yeah, well, there's the spirit of the season right there. All right, thank you, bad Beatle impersonators. Thank you. Thank you.
No. Merry Christmas, Loop-de-loop.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What
turn this thing off. Hold on a second there. iPhone. Yes, can you get me the number for a supply house for Yoko Ono impersonators? Thank you. No, just connect me. Yeah, you can send the number to my phone. That's fine. I don't anticipate ever calling them. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You too, have a nice day. Hello, do you supply Yoko Ono impersonators? You do. And you send them back in time. You do? Oh, great. Could you send one Yoko Ono impersonator back in time to break up a group called the Kaisers? Right, that's with a K. All right, as soon as we hang up, great, thanks. Bye. Merry Christmas to you, too. Well, that did the trick. There, our professional Yoko Ono impersonator went back in time and broke up the group the Kaisers before they could, what? Obviously, they recorded that song because I was listening to it. Did she take breaking them up a little too literally? I mean, she'd kill them or something before they even recorded that tune? Oh, boy. It's one of those days where you just don't want to look up somebody's Wikipedia entry. You just don't. Well, maybe she just interrupted the recording session, and that was the end of the song right there because everybody was so struck by the apparition of a short, pumpkin-headed woman appearing in the middle of the studio. Well, let's see what else we have here, shall we? Let's go to C1 and see if there's something a little bit more seasonal.
The servers, watch out. Old Andy went to Beach Bunnies, too. Look over there. Santa Claus is surfing to town. He's making a list of wild hanging tip. He's good at nose to an offshore wind. Santa Claus is surfing to
just to be sure. There. Sorry, I'm just opposed on general principle to any recontextualizing of Santa to modern forms of conveyance. Santa drove a sleigh, that's it. Santa didn't surf. Santa, like Charlie, doesn't surf. He didn't come in on a rocket. He didn't ride Sputnik over the sky. I'm sure in the 24th century, when the Star Trek world is fully realized, that they'll have songs about how Santa beamed into the living room with the help of the annular containment field and the Heisenberg compensators. But things went terribly awry, and he was a misshapen pile of meat on the floor, and oh, how I missed the Santa of yore, etc., etc. But it won't be the same. I mean, you got your basic Santa on the sleigh with the jingle bells and the reindeer, and that's it, period. And I'm sorry that I had to get drastic there, but that was soupy sales to make it even worse. Yeah, I should, hold on.
That's good coffee.
Oh, and it is, and I need it. Sorry to brandish the gun, anyway. I suppose that must have scared off some of the video audience here. Let me check the hit. Oh, my, we're up to 97,000, and that's just in the last 25 seconds. Wow, word gets around. Somebody must have Twittered it. Yeah, well, I guess that's the secret to a lot of hits here, then, on our new video channel, Diner. Brandish a weapon. And what else here? I'm looking at the comments. No, I'm not going to take off my shirt. Although, if I took off my shirt and danced with a gun, man, we could crack 100,000 in no time. But dignity. Always dignity. Let's see if we have something else here holiday-themed. Of course we do. The jukebox is stocked with it. The jukebox is stooked with it. Let's go to D1.
Santa Claus has a rocket sleigh getting ready to zoom away.
No.
On his first trip into space,
where there are no children.
In his pressurized suit with the fur along the border and a long white bearded helmet made just to order, he'll take the Christmas spirit every place.
Why would he need a pressurized suit? He doesn't need one on Christmas Eve when he's up there 20,000 feet. Now, does he? He's Santa Claus, for heaven's sakes.
Space Age Santa.
There. Sorry, I had to just kind of hit it. And that reset it, so I'll have to wait here for the jukebox to reset itself and get its brains back. Yes. Well, I can't shoot it, for heaven's sakes. They put those things on my bill, and it adds up, and I'm still a couple of jukeboxes behind. We need some good classic Santa Claus music here. Something something devout, something reverent. There aren't any songs about the birth of Santa Claus, are there? I think that's just a little too close for comfort. People can have a two-track Christmas with a secular on one side and the spiritual on the other, but you don't want the tracks to cross at the whole birth point. I think people would just... Ooh, the jukebox back.
Here's Santa Claus. I am the saddest guy in Brooklyn.
And that would be why.
You want to know why?
I do.
If I ever deserved a favor, and by me a present you owe, well, all I want for Hanukkah is Marilyn Monroe.
Ho, ho, ho.
If you want to do right by me...
I do.
And keep our friendship just so-so, well, all I want for Hanukkah is Marilyn Monroe.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I'm not sure how I'd support her, if I may be so bold. But if the temperature sank to zero, I doubt if I'd feel
enough
the cold.
Enough of the kvetching, you schlub. Neil, if you'd gone to college like your mother wanted and become a doctor, a Marilyn Monroe you could support. But no, well, you got to hang around in the clubs with your friends talking about rights for the Schwartzes, Monroe. Yeah. This guy. Do we know him?
I'm not sure how I'd support her. I'd have to play it smart. I'd buy myself a little paintbrush
and brush stab your mother in the heart, which is what you do every time you sing about that chicksa. You hear me, Bernie? She knows what you're thinking. She knows you've got a dirty mind, Bernie. You've got a dirty, dirty mind.
Is Marilyn Monroe. Now, really, Santa Claus, is that asking too much?
Hey, for this, we sent him to Hebrew school for 12 years. Well, let's see what's next on the list here. Apparently, the jukebox is just playing things by itself, though. I mean, the last one just came up after I punched it. First I shot it, then I punched it. Well, you know, it's a visual medium this year, this new diner, this new televised diner, so you got to liven it up somehow, right? I'll just sit back and wait for it to start up again. Anytime. Any minute. All right, well, it's not then. Maybe it's a haunted jukebox. No, that's another hall. That's another holiday. All right, obviously, it's not a haunted jukebox here, so let's go to...
For it's Christmas in the jungle, and there won't be any snow.
My darling, it's almost Christmas, and here I am, thousands of miles away from you and everything else that I love. I never thought Christmas could be so lonely. Everybody got packages.
Not me. I didn't add that.
And it's kind of sad watching how some of the guys are putting up decorations, trying to give this place a feeling of Christmas.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you got a bunch of female backup singers. Apparently they missed the USO helicopter or something. Make the most of it, guy. Attribute of the jungle.
We've been reading about what's going on at home.
Laughing was canceled.
Some people think we're fools to be here. It's hard to put it into words, but I feel my being here is like taking out a little insurance for the future.
That's why I'm a mercenary here in the Congo.
And there's two. And if I can do this, it's worth it.
Hi, Johnny Ernest
here,
man.
Being away from you. You know what I mean.
Whoa! Got him! Oh, but he's okay, but oh, let me look at that. Johnny, that's a $1 million lyric right there. That's right. You're going stateside. You're going back to the world, man. But we're going to call in some fire in their position here. A little payback. Time for payback. Payback. It's a dish best served. Red hot.
Honey, I just got the most wonderful news. I'm coming home. I can hardly believe it. Just think, before you know it, I'll be running down the street and knocking on your door. And sweetheart, the minute I see you, I'm gonna... Dear Helen, I was a buddy of Johnny's.
and I found this letter among his things. I thought you'd like to have it, so I'm sending it on to you.
There's no pencil, there's no fire, and there isn't any mistletoe, for it's Christmas in the jungle, and there won't.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their target market was for that particular tune. Not to disparage those who served in Vietnam, but I can't see them playing that one every hour on the hour. By request, it's Derek Roberts, No Christmas in the Jungle. It's on the charts at number 23 and moving up with a bolt. Here it is. Oh. Well, this is strange, this is odd, this is wrong. I want Christmas music, for heaven's sake, so what am I getting? I'm getting an incredibly depressing song about Vietnam Christmases. I'm getting, you know, the guy who wants to show up Marilyn Monroe. I'm getting Soupy Sales with Surfing Santa. I'm getting that other chick with a Santa on his jet-age space-pressurized suit. I want Christmas music. I want traditional, good, old-time, heartwarming, cockle-warming, chestnut-roasting-scented Christmas music with Steve and Edie bounding over the snow and Steve going, which he always did in an alarming fashion at the end of Sleigh Ride. That's what I want. I want Goodyear stuff. I want Uniroyal stuff. I want the Christmas music of the early 60s that has the imprimatur of the car companies and the tire companies, for heaven's sakes. Good, strong American companies. Well, for some reason, it's not popping up in the jukebox. And the thing has a mind of its own. What is it going to play next? What is this? Outtakes from the Mist soundtrack? Have a very misty Christmas from all of us here in Ribbon. What? Is that supposed to be a... supposed to be a cat? They're torturing it. They'll be pulling its leg and breaking its ribs. They've got him in the timpani now. Stop it, stop it, stop it! This is the worst Christmas music ever. I mean, if I was in the Christmas spirit, I'd be depressed. But I'm not in the Christmas spirit, and I'm even more depressed. Ugh. I'm never going to get in the spirit now at all. What is with this jukebox? Usually it responds to my commands. I don't understand this. I don't understand it at all. Listen, I'm going to use the lavatory here for a second and turn off the cameras in there. I'm not going in there to make a confession, all right? I do all my confessing right here at the Boomerang Pattern Formica counter. This stool, and this jukebox, and this microphone, and this ashtray, which is nothing in it, but it's there for ceremonial purposes, and all my favorite condiments, and my good cup of diner coffee. And I'd like some more hot coffee if I could, please. No, I'm not in the Christmas spirit. I'm sorry. I'll be back in just a minute.
Now, here's a real solution to many of your Christmas shopping problems. If your friends smoke a long cigarette, give the best of long cigarettes. Fatima. Give Fatima for quality. The name Fatima has always stood for the best in cigarette quality. Give Fatima for flavor. Fatima has a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette. Give Fatima. They're extra mild. Yes, Fatima is the long cigarette which contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos superbly blended to make Fatima extra mild. Yes, extra mild. So give Fatima for Christmas in the attractive golden yellow carton. It's the long cigarette that has doubled and redoubled its smokers. Yes, more and more smokers every day agree. Fatima is the best of all long cigarettes. Smoke the best of long cigarettes. smoke Fatima. Fatima is the long cigarette which contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos superbly blended to make Fatima extra mild. And that's why Fatima has a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette. That's why Fatima is doubling and redoubling its smokers. So, if you want a long cigarette, smoke the best of all long cigarettes. Smoke long cigarettes. Smoke the best of long cigarettes. Smoke Fatima. Fatima is the long cigarette which contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos superbly blended to make Fatima extra mild. And that's why Fatima has a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette. That's why Fatima is doubling and redoubling its smokers. So, if you want a long cigarette, smoke the best of all long cigarettes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-a-tingling too.
Brian Setzer, ladies and gentlemen, let it roll, let it roll. Finally, we get some good Christmas music.
Outside the snow is falling.
No. What? What's? I'm looking at the floor director here. I don't understand that gesture you're making. That's not a speed-it-up gesture. That's not a shut-it-up gesture. That's not a break gesture. That's not a fill gesture. What is that gesture? You've got your hand clasped, right? Like you're holding something, and it's hanging down. What is that? A briefcase? Okay, you're holding. This is a pantomime, charades here. What is the broadcast? What is the floor director gesture you're trying to do? You're holding a briefcase. Oh, lawyers. I see. Okay. Right. So if we played the whole song, we'd have to deal with lawyers. Okay, well, Merry Christmas. Well, we got a little of Brian Setzer in there. I don't know how that managed to slip in, being that the jukebox is determined to ruin my Christmas mood here. Maybe that was just the idea of the jukebox. Maybe we've got one of those Rankin-Bass ideas here, the jukebox that stole Christmas. Because Christmas is always in peril of being stolen. Always, always in just an inch away from being ruined. No holiday is so tremulous, so delicate, so easily destroyed as Christmas. Here you have a celebration which not only celebrates the birth of Christ and anchors the primary philosophical, theological construct that has informed Western civilization for two millennia, but before that was the basis of Saturnalia and kept the Romans happy, right? And the Romans had a grand time with their gifts and their trees and their whole business and the slaves pretending they were the masters and the masters feeding the slaves food and all that wonderful stuff that they did in the dark hours of December to amuse themselves, all right? So this goes back a long ways. But never mind all that. It can be destroyed. It's hanging by a hair every year if something doesn't happen. Christmas always is going to be ruined. And who, I ask you, is the one who always hangs it up? Who's the one who says, I guess there won't be any Christmas this year? Santa Claus. Every year. There's a storm. Something's wrong with Rudolph's nose. You know, he's got a bunion. Oh, I guess there won't be Christmas this year. I mean, I swear, the guy's looking to hang it up. I'm just wondering if he's got some backup in the wings there, because they probably have to have a cattle prod out there. They got to show him the contracts he signed. I mean, look, we went through this last February when we went to Shanghai and signed all the contracts for this crap. Okay, what do you want to do with it? You want to keep bearing it out back like you did with the rest of this stuff that didn't sell? Sorry, Santa, you got to go around the world and dump this stuff down chimneys. But, no, if we were to do some sort of Rankin-Bass Christmas special animated with a freakily, eerily recognizable likeness of some ancient character for whom kids have no particular love, like Burl Ives. It wasn't until Burl Ives came out with a holiday album, Silver Bells, Tinkling Bells, It's Christmas Time, and what was the one for that? What was? Good Lord, see how much this jukebox has ruined my mind. What was the Burl Ives Holly Jolly Christmas? Thank you very much. Kiss her once for me. No, I'm not going to kiss her once for you, you creepy old big fat socialist. So they had Burl Ives in the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and then they had, was it Fred Astaire they had in Frosty the Snow? Fred Astaire? Fred Astaire? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Fred Astaire. But how many 7, 6, 8-year-old kids are looking at that and saying, right there is the premier dance stylist of the Depression. And an interesting singer in his own way. He didn't have the same sort of sing-speak-song styling of Rex Harrison, for example. There's a little bit more melody there. He tried. He was thin in the upper ranges, but it didn't matter. It was all very much about style, and Astaire is all about style, and I can tell that's him, with the scarf and the square jaw and the rest of it. But when is Fred Astaire? I mean, it makes you wonder, you know, 40, 50 years from now exactly, who's going to be filling up... Well, there won't be any animated kid special, of course. It'll all be piped directly into their brains via holographic matrices. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, in all of these specials, something was going to ruin Christmas. And so here, perhaps, we have the jukebox that ruined Christmas. And maybe that's just the way it's going to be, because life isn't a Rankin-Bass cartoon. It doesn't always end that way, you know? Santa doesn't always come through at the end with a cavalry. Mixed metaphor there, but you know what I mean. So maybe this is just going to be the Christmas the jukebox ruined. I'm just trying to figure out why. Because the guy who stocks the jukebox knows how much I love the classic Christmas music. And he's a good fellow himself, so I've heard. He wouldn't do something like that. He wouldn't undermine the very spirit of Christmas around the diner. Especially when we're going live, streaming on the internet, with we've got 190,000 people watching. 190,000? You did turn off the cameras in the bathroom, didn't you? I don't understand that floor director is shaking his head and grinning, which means what in floor directing? Oh, well, anyway, we've got a lot of traffic. And for all this traffic, we can't give people a heartwarming Christmas. Why? What happened? All right, let's just wait for the next song. Ah! The White People's Christmas Album. Only two copies exist.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lake, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight.
Switch into the channel with the chicks. There. Mix them down to speakers left and right. All 6,000 of us. He was also a misshapen little white guy. Because you're the leader of a polygamist cult. All 6,000 of us. Massed together, Jonestown-like. Do I have any choice? Enough! That's strange. Jukebox cut off at my voice command. Didn't have to shoot it. Didn't have to slap it. Just cut off, almost like it's listening. Almost like it's been inhabited by a spirit who's watching over us now. Who could that be? What malevolent force might have come and taken the diner's jukebox to ruin our Christmas? Who could be so... Who could be so devious? Who would want to intrude with my mind in such a way as to make me think that Christmas would be ruined? Who would be playing the worst sort of Christmas music at all just to send us a message, just to tell us that he's still alive, somebody we haven't heard from in at least a year, somebody who the last time we heard from was on Christmas itself when he came to visit us. He was the ghost of Christmas present, past, and future all mixed together, which caused, of course, as you can well imagine, some sort of temporal time vortex which spun him out of our realm and sent him crashing into another. That was the last we heard from him, but now maybe this is him. Maybe this is his way of reaching out and telling us he's still here. He's still with us. Dark Chef, is it you? Are you out there, Dark Chef? Send us a sign.
Thank you.
I knew it! I knew it! I knew it! Jeremy lives. Listen, buddy, thanks for the joke. You had us going. Maybe you could manifest yourself in corporeal form here in the next year so we could do some diners again together. What do you say? Well, of course, you're incorporeal, so I can't really tell, but I know you want to come back. Ah, listen, pal, do you think you could see a way to unpossessing the jukebox so we could maybe play some real Christmas music? Thanks. Thanks, and Merry Christmas to you too, my friend, wherever you are. Hope it's not one of those places with a brimstone and a pitch, because you'd be bossing everybody around. Take a look at what the jukebox can do for us now.
Caroling, caroling, now we go. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling through the snow. Christmas bells are ringing. Joyous voices, sweet and clear. Sing the sad of heart to cheer. Ding dong, ding dong. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling through the town, Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling up and down, Christmas bells are ringing. Mark you well the song we sing, glad some tidings now we bring. Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas bells are ringing. Christmas bells are ringing, following, following yonder star. Christmas bells are ringing. Sing we all this happy morn. Lo, the King of Heaven is born. Ding dong, ding dong. Christmas bells are ringing.
Ah, Anna Maria Alberghetti, in a taxi. That's from the Goodyear 1965 Christmas album, I believe. And almost too much to hope that I could top that for its pure nostalgic value, but I'm going to try, and I'm going to hope that that you're all with me on this one. You can summon up all of your Christmas spirit, all of your holiday cheer and joy, that the shade of the dark chef can assist, and that every patron of the diner, which I look into the counter now, up to 275,000, I guess the Star Wars nerds must have shown up, hoping we were going to play Star Wars Christmas special music. Sorry. So everybody, concentrate and direct all of your psychic holiday energies into my index finger as I lean forward, eyes closed, and press a button at random to see what will be the final Christmas song of our special here for 2008. Here we go. It's Gleason. Thank you. I'm James Lilex, and from everyone at the diner, Merry Christmas. We'll see you down the road in 2009.
Okay, is that it? Is that the wrapping up sign you're making there? Oh, man. We were lucky. I mean, he's the dark chef. There's a reason they call him that. I mean, he's a good-natured guy, but he's got his malevolent little tweaking side, and we're lucky he didn't give us Shonen Knife Christmas there instead of Gleason. Are we out? All right. We're out.